a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman.
Right. Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. This is another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And we have a very special guest with us today, Chris Holyfield. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. You know, other than COVID-19 that we're all dealing with, other than that, I'm doing great. And yeah, just moving forward, man, with life and trying to dodge it. And we all are. Yeah. But other than that, man, just, you know, living life, man, just trying to move forward, try to change some lives on the way of my journeys, you know, because I'm a firm believer of that. You know, because it's not just about me, it's about other people as well. We don't have that with everybody, but that's, you know, kind of my lifestyle of, you know, like, as long as I'm changing my life, I want to change other people's lives on the way.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, from what we've talked about, you've already doing some pretty awesome stuff just 20 minutes ago, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Working with my Special Olympic athletes, we started a powerlifting team. We had about 15, and then COVID, you know, shut it down. So we're down. The numbers are down because a lot of parents are, you know, a little nervous still about them coming to the gym and social distancing. So
yeah,
we work with what we have. We have about like five or six now. So okay. You know, once this is back to whatever norm that we go back to, that hopefully the rest of the athletes will start coming back.
And I think they will. I mean, it's such a crazy time in our world today, and hopefully somebody has an answer. If you're listening, you have an answer, please send it to the Rage and Blaze Show. We'll get it out there for you. But that would be awesome. To go back to normal life would just be incredible. We just came back from Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Okay.
And everybody's wearing masks. It's just so different.
It's so different.
You know, we had to get away, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
I feel you on that.
Yeah. So let's get started so what got you into wrestling? Was you a wrestling fan growing up and got into it, or did it just kind of naturally happen?
It's twofold, because I was a fan.
Okay.
And I was a fan. And what happened, because I wrestled in high school. And I was, you know, I was decent. Yeah, because my senior year, I was 21-4. And I got beat by the same guy three times. I owned him in my junior year. I owned him. My senior year, he owned me because what he did is, yeah, he did. Because he technically watched my style, and what he did, me being short statured, he worked my legs. So he didn't go upper body with me, because you come upper body with me, it's a wrap. You put yourself in a danger zone. So he chose, he says, well, wow, I can't beat him up top. I beat him on the ground. And that's how he would beat me. He would, him being longer and lankier than me, it's like, it's hard to control lanky guys, because when you try to grab an ankle and grab, it's, they spread out on you, and these little arms, these little Tourette's arms, that ain't gonna work. it's just not gonna work out for you. But getting into the business my junior year, I saw a magazine that had Haiti Kid, Little Beaver, and Little Mr. T, and maybe Cowboy Lane. And then, you know, these are old school, these are way back old school guys in Little Tokyo, in Lower Little Brook. And they were talking, they did a little story on the little guys. And I was like, whoa. And I saw a Haiti Kid, and I said, man. And in my mind, I said, man, I'll beat all those guys right now. I'll beat those guys on the mat right now. So what happened was, I said, man, I think I want to get into wrestling, man. I said, because it gave me that, I'm like, well, these guys are doing it, and I know I'm more athletic than these guys, because I, you know, I'm like, shoot, I can do this. So yeah. Senior year came, was going towards the end of the school year. A rival wrestling coach from another school, he called my coach and he says, hey, send Chris down to the gym tonight. We're having pro wrestling. And I went up the road to see the wrestling. It was Florida Championship Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And this was back in the Gordon Soley days. And Lex Luger was kind of breaking in, he was in the independents. And Lex Luger was featured at that match. And it was a promoter by the name of Don Miller. And he had the territory, in Florida. He had the Florida territory. So I got introduced to him. And he gave me Lord Littlebrook's number. And it went from there. I called Lord Littlebrook because we had to go through, in the era that I came into wrestling in 87, we had to go through Lord Littlebrook as the little guys. If you went through Lord Littlebrook, you were going to be able to, get your name out there, get in that circuit, because Vince would call Lord Littlebrook when he needed little guys.
Oh, okay.
See, he would call Lord Littlebrook. I mean, he kind of had that, like, boom.
He was representative.
Yeah, he was that guy. So not only did he use his sons to wrestle, because Karate Kid Kato was his, one of his sons that actually wrestled, and eventually his other son, Beautiful Bobby, started wrestling, but Bobby was a lot younger than the time, because here I am, I'm 19 years old. I'm going to community college right now. I went my first semester and I was like, boom, I'm gone. I'm going to St. Joe, Missouri, and I'm gonna get on this wrestling tip. So that's how it came about. And I went to St. Joe, and Kato, little karate kid, he picked me up from the airport. And we went to a small little town, St. Joseph, Missouri. And I mean, small little town. You're like, St. Joe, Missouri, what's that? You didn't even know if it was a city. You're like, St. Joe, Missouri, what's that? So went out there. And then that's when I met Mr. T and Bad Boy Brown and Lord Littlebrook, Little Tokyo, Cowboy Lane, and we started training.
Yeah, I think if I remember right, didn't we see Little Tokyo in one of the WrestleManias during that 6-man tag match? I'd have to go back and look. There was I think WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, it was way back. Yeah, because way back. Yes,
we've only seen four of the WrestleManias so far. We're still just starting out our show.
We've probably
seen more of that. We've only done four shows.
We're wrestling fans, so we've watched.
I think
we saw Little Tokyo. Who was your favorite wrestler growing up? You said you were a fan of wrestling. Who was your favorite guy?
Junkyard Dog.
Rage has nothing but love for Junkyard Dog. Every time he's on the screen, he's loved.
That was my wrestling nickname in my sophomore year. JYD. JYD. And
you do the barking and everything. He kind of froze.
I didn't bark, but I had his swag though. I had the swag, but I didn't bark. And I didn't have the big heavy chain around my neck.
Chain with you?
No chain. But I used to, I would watch his matches, and then it got me pumped up for my high school wrestling matches.
There you go. So, we know you were in WWE. We've been watching a lot of your footage. We watched you as Booker T, as Little Boogeyman, and on the juror when, Hornswoggle sues DX.
little People's Court.
Did you know any of those guys with you?
I knew all those guys.
Are they all wrestlers or?
Yeah, because we had Chip, which Chip was a wrestler, and the one guy that kind of like sat next to me, little Dave, Dave the Dwarf, he was not a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
He was a radio personality, but behind me with the glasses was Pitbull Patterson. He was a wrestler. We wrestled a lot of independent stuff together, and those other guys, they did a lot of independent things, and that was pretty much one of their first, for the most part, their first time on WWE.
Okay. So yeah, we were just curious because we watched the segment, everyone, was curious if you knew any of them like that.
You kind of get to know everybody from afar. Some of them you make friendships with because Pitbull Patterson, Jeff, the guy in the back with the glasses, when you go back and watch the video, him and I have been friends, over 20 something odd years, close to 30 really, because he came after me training with Lord Lutterbrook. So he came after me, and the funny thing about that is like we're such a hit and miss, the little guys. It's a hit and miss. It's the luck of the draw. Yeah. It really is, because it's whatever they're looking for at the time, mm-hmm. and if it sparks Vince and then the writers, and if they got a storyline behind it, okay, you're in. But for how long, you don't know.
Yeah,
right.
You don't know.
Not everybody seems to stick around like Hornswoggle. He seemed to have.
And when you look at all the wrestling, because he had a 10-year ride. Yeah. And that's not the norm.
No.
For little
no.
guy. That's not the. He was blessed.
Yeah.
He was blessed. To ride that train that long because, but I knew. Going in as Little Boogeyman, that it was going to be short-lived. And that's no pun intended. I knew it was going to be short-lived because when you're a character like that, it's like any day you could be gone.
Yeah. So bringing up Little Boogeyman, let's talk about that. The Worms, man.
Yeah.
Come on. How is that?
The Worms... It's funny because people always ask me when I travel around the country speaking at schools, and they always ask me where those was it gummy worms and stuff like that. I said, "Nah, those were."
There's no way those were gummy. They were moving around. I did not question that at all.
And people would question that, and I'm like, did you actually see the video? Those were not. That was real. So, the worms. It's funny because our first take, my very first match, was in Seattle. And they were asking me if I wanted to rehearse it. I said, nah, I'm just going to put them in my mouth.
Do it.
I'm just going to do it. And boom, I put them in my mouth. And because, they clean them off for you, and then they'd be, like, on ice. They'll be cool,
Okay.
And, but boy, I tell you, when they hit your mouth, it was, it's like, like almost like alpha salsa hitting water. You know, they dry up so fast from your saliva. I mean, it's like, whoa, where'd they go? And you're like, and when they dry up, they get wild in your mouth. They get to move. It's like they need that moisture that saliva just kind of, just draws them up. And they get to going. You're moving your tongue around.
Yeah.
Hey, get back over here. it's not like you can get your fingers and move them around, because you're in character. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And it just was from that point, it was just all she wrote. Put them in your mouth. And, people thought, they like, oh man, you put worms in your mouth. You're nasty. I hope you brush your teeth after that.
Hey, I would do it if I got on WWE myself. So I don't blame you.
Exactly.
I'm for it.
Exactly.
So did Boogeyman kind of give you any advice before you put it in your mouth or did
he said, just don't swallow them.
Just don't swallow.
That was the only thing he said.
It's good advice.
He said, don't swallow them because, you're talking about, yeah, You'd be in the office quite a bit if you swallow them.
So, I'm sure that you didn't just wrestle as Booker T and Boogeyman. What other promotions were you in, and what was your main gimmick or main wrestling persona in those promotions?
But my main gimmick was Little Boogeyman. That was my biggest ever. That was the biggest. Because when I first came in with Lord Littlebrook, I was Little Tiger.
Little Tiger?
Yeah. That was grand opening, grand closing. That was like, nobody knows about Little Tiger. You know, I had leopard little shorts, print, you know, leopard print.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, and then we, I was on the independent circuit. And I don't even know. It was just different promoters that would call Lord Littlebrook. And we would do a lot of, you know, the fairgrounds, the state fairs. And when that happened, I was like, man, this is not what I signed up for. I'm ready to go to, you know, I'm ready to go to the big dance, to the big show. This is not what I signed up for. I didn't leave like college for that, you know. Shoot, I'm like, what's this all about? And, you know, it was just different because, you know, you share hotel rooms, you drive, you know, WWE, no. you get your own room, you fly, you know, it was just a totally different.
Yeah, I bet.
Immensely totally different. Where you go to these arenas and we have crafts, go to the craft room where all the food is at. And I mean food. I mean like buffet style, you know, food. You know, independent shows, you better stop at McDonald's before you get to them.
Get you a Big Mac.
Yeah. You know, you better stop and get you something to eat before you get there, because if you get there, independent show, thinking you're going to get something, you know, it might have little chips and maybe a couple cold cuts of a hoagie, and you know, it's totally
different
situation. And you know, the funny thing about that is that I was wrestling for a long time before these gimmicks even came about in my life. Matter of fact, when they came about, I wasn't even wrestling. I wasn't even thinking about wrestling.
Huh. So how did you get the call? If you were out of wrestling, how did this come about?
Because, you know, you got social media. Okay. You got social media. And then we were just into, you know, AOL, you know, AOL, how big that was. And then little chat rooms and stuff like that. So, remind you, other wrestlers knew, you know, that were still wrestling. They were going to say, hey, we're looking for an African-American low person to do this. So for Booker, then they, for one wrestler to the next, contacted me. And it was like, hey, would you be interested in wrestling for WWF? Because that's what it was.
Yeah.
During that time. And then they called me, and I went to Sacramento and did the little Booker T gimmick. And it was cool because I got to work with The Rock.
Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, see, I got to work with him. And it was so funny because I didn't want to be a mark, and I didn't want to be a fan. I didn't want to do any of those things when I met him. But I really wanted to say something, you know, more than – you know, other than thank you, appreciate you, you know, type of deal. I wanted to get a picture. And you remind you, we had the little wind, you know, the little wind up Kodak.
Yes, yeah.
we had that. And, excuse me, I wanted to get a picture. You know, bad man, I want to get it. But I never asked him for a picture because I just didn't know if he would still respect me as the guy I was. You know, like, you know, I see you, you're a star, you know, and I wanted this for memories, but I just didn't, you know, I said, man, I don't want to bother him because a lot of people were, you know, asking him and talking to him and stuff. But I will say this, a lot of people don't know this. So you guys are getting some, you know, information that a lot of people don't know about. When we were going over the match, It was Pat Patterson and a couple other guys, Lance Storm, and a couple other people in the room. We were going over the match, and they wanted to do that clowny stuff and wanted me to go underneath the Rock's legs and turn around and like bite him on the bum and do the little going around in a circle type thing.
Spinner Rooney? It was a hell of a Spinner Rooney. Circling around him. Okay.
Circling around with me, like, looks like I'm biting him on the bum.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, he says, no, that's happening. He says, I'm not going to degrade him nor myself. But, you know, and he said it. And, man, you don't know how I felt inside. I was like, yes. Thank you, Rock. I said, thank you, man. I said, because I was never a fan of that.
Right.
I was never a fan of going through the legs. You know, that's a high spot for little guys. I didn't like it. I thought, I always thought it was garbage. I always thought it was garbage. You know, biting somebody on the bum, you know, would you do that out? You know, that it's just, you know, it's, you know, becomes a freak show more or less than, that's not wrestling. That's not even, that's not even funny.
I'm glad to find out that I still can love The Rock.
You know, it's just like, that was not funny at all. So he said that, and I was so thankful, and I was like, man, I want to get a picture with this guy. But I didn't get a chance to get a picture with him. Now, after I did the whole scene with The Rock and all that stuff, I saw Booker T afterwards, and we got a picture because he says, man, you killed the Spinneroni
I agree.
He said you killed it, and that was the first go around. You know, it was just like when I tried to do it afterwards, it was just everything just happened. It was just perfect. And boom, I did the Spinneroni and he says, oh, brother, you killed it, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, because, you know, in the wrestling business, everything is brother. You know, brother.
Wonder who started that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a guy in yellow trunks. That.
that happened. And then that was like the last go around for me for years, you know, years in between.
2007,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it, you know, it's just like, and I wasn't even wrestling like that. Every now and then somebody would call me and I would go based on like, if Jeff, like Jeff, because like I said, Jeff Patterson, Pitbull Patterson, he was a friend of mine. So I would go because of the simple fact that it gave us the time, because he lives in Arizona and I'm in Florida, so he gave us the time to hang out and be buddies, you know. And him and I would wrestle each other, and it didn't, for us, it didn't matter who won or who didn't, you know, who was baby, who was heel. It didn't matter. This gave us a weekend, guys weekend, you know. that's basically when I would wrestle. It's like, who am I wrestling? And he said, I'll call Jeff to see if he's available. And then that's when every now and then we'll do shows together. Otherwise, I wasn't thinking about wrestling because, you know, I was getting older and my mind was going somewhere totally different, because on the trail of independent wrestling and then to WWE, it's like, it's a lot of nasty things that happen in between, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know, the business is not, you know, it's not like the NFL or the NBA. You got choices of teams that could draft you. When you step everything aside, wrestling, you either have the main core or you have, you know, the
independence,
the civic centers and independence that, you know, you hope that the promoter don't jack you on your money. Come on, oh, we didn't do so well, and all of this extra. Well, I paid for your plane fare, and now that, you know, that cost me, and almost trying to throw the airfare into your pay.
Right?
Like, no, brother. No, we agreed on this. You know, yeah. I want to get that. You know, because anything less, you know, I'm losing.
Right.
You know, I'm the one that drove to the airport. I'm the one that got my car parked or, you know, for a couple of days at the airport, paying those extra, you know, those fees and whatnot. That's not, that wasn't included in what you were going to pay me.
Right.
You know, so where, when, you know, with WWE, that was totally different ball game, you know, just totally different ball game. So, you know, with the ups and downs of wrestling, I got turned off fast. Because me and Lord Littlebrook, God bless his soul, he passed away a few years ago. Him and I, we butted heads. Just for the simple fact, we butted heads because I had to do the sunset flip, and we was training, and I did the sunset flip, did it good one first time, boom, boom, boom. And then second time, I went over and landed right on like side of my neck. I mean, like, bam, and I was like, and I just felt it. And I said, woo. And he says, get up and do it again. I said, I think I need to let this fear over. Let me overcome this fear. Matter of fact, it was Little Tokyo.
Oh, really?
He was Little Tokyo woman. He says, do it again. But, you know, because Tokyo was Asian, so do it again. Do it again. I said, do it again. You know, and he was getting pissed at me. And I said, hey, guy, I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling this. And then that was kind of the breakup with Lord Littlebrook and I because of the sunset flip. That was the breakup, you know, where we went, you know, he was like, well, you know, brother, if you can't listen and you can't do what you're asked told. I said, it wasn't a matter of me not doing what I was told. I'm hurt right now.
Yeah.
My confidence is not there now. You know, so let's come back. Let's come back tomorrow. You know, over and over and over. And then I'm sitting over there like, you know, like, you know, it was painful. It just went straight down. And that's kind of where I end up leaving Lord Littlebrook. And I moved out of Lord Littlebrook's house and went on to Bad Boy Brown's place for a while. And I'll try to make some connections, and you know, from that point. And then after a while, I said, "Well, you know, I'm gonna go back home. You know, I'm gonna go back to Florida and regroup." And that's pretty much, you know, what happened. And you know, and you'll hear stories in wrestling. You know, wrestling is such a roller coaster that you don't know when you're gonna go up, and then you sure don't even know the hell when you're gonna go down. And I mean, down fast, because it's like it. Again, like I was saying earlier, it's not like the NBA, the NFL, you know, you guys say, hey guys, you know, I'm a free agent, you know, and if the promoters don't know who you are because you haven't wrestled long enough, and it's not like they have your number, you know, where now we got social media, you know, if you're in the independents, you know, you can throw your number online and tell people, hey, I'm a wrestler. I'm looking for work, you know, and people can find you, but in my era, you know, it was a word of mouth. It was definitely a word of mouth. And, and I don't know if Lord Littlebrook ever even mentioned anything about me as a whole, like, hey, don't use this guy. I don't know, you know, cause you don't, but as time went by, as social media became larger, people got to find out more about you. And so you can kind of like wrestling promoters, you know, hey, you're a little person. You wrestle? Yeah. You know, and I mean, it just picked up with social media. And that's pretty much how my gigs came about. You know, it's through, you know, through social media, people looking for, you know, hey, we're looking for African-American wrestler, little person. So it's like, who fits? Boom.
Right.
Because, you know, the funny thing, if you check the history, and I just thought about this the other night, it dawned on me. Now, there was Little Mr. T, and I think Little Bobo Brazil, Haiti Kid, and Little Boogeyman. I think there was only four African-American Little People wrestlers that was kind of recognized.
Wow.
Kind of. And then when you look at it, none of those guys are living but me.
Oh.
Yeah. And this just dawned on me the other day when I was just like, just thinking about it. And I was like, wow. You know, because I was saying, what's historical about the Little Boogeyman right now? Well, out of all the little African-American wrestlers that made it, like a character name that made it, that was in the encyclopedias, that's part of WWE's history, that's the Little Boogeyman.
Wow. It's awesome.
You know, and you say, like, I was like, hey, where's my notoriety? No, but, you know, it dawned on me, and it was just kind of, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because it really wasn't a whole lot of us in the first place. If you go, even if you're looking at the, I don't know if you guys ever looked in the different encyclopedias of WWE's. I know I'm in two of them because I just did the big event in March where, you know, you have all the, it's like a WrestleCon. You know, you have all these different wrestlers come in and, you know, they do the, all the autograph signings and photos and stuff like that. And quite a few people came up and got their book signed. So I'm in two of the encyclopedias. And so, you know, when you look back at that, it's like, wow, you know, you've actually made history with WWE. You know, you made history per se.
Yeah.
And not many of us of Little People actually in that magazine. You know, Little Beaver or Little Brook, Haiti Kid, Hornswoggle, myself, and those guys from Mexico, the little guys from Mexico, with the ones with the horn, I don't know.
The luchadors.
Yeah, those guys. And that's about it. It's actually in that magazine. Hmm. You know, not magazine, in that encyclopedia.
Right. But that's a heck of an accomplishment. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, to be ingrained in the history of the WWE, and if you want to be known in history of wrestling, it's the WWE. That's who you want to be known for because, I mean, there's been other promotions, you know, but they've all came and gone. Some of them are trying right now. But WWE seems to be the one that's here to stay. If you want to play football, you want to play in the NFL. If you want to wrestle, you want to wrestle in the WWE, right?
Exactly.
So that's amazing to have your name engraved with those guys. Like, and you got to do it with some of the greatest.
Yes.
I was just looking at some names, and I had to write it down just so I didn't forget. I mean, you wrestled with Hornswoggle. You did work with Boogeyman, Finley, Shawn Michaels, Triple H.
Shawn Michaels is actually one of our favorite wrestlers.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels is my favorite of all time.
Okay.
Big Show, Chris Jericho, and my gosh, The Rock,
who's one of the biggest stars in Hollywood right now.
Well, beyond wrestling, The Rock is just an icon. I mean,
he's an icon, iconic. Yeah. And then I got body slammed by Mark Henry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot to write Mark Henry down. I apologize. You did. You got punished by him too.
One of the strongest, you know. So
strongest man. Yeah.
So I got to work with him, and you know, I did a one episode with TNA.
Did you?
Yeah, they did a. I did a. What's it? What do they call him? Black Motif.
I didn't really watch TNA. So.
I used to watch it when he was doing their shows in Orlando.
Right. When he, the one that played like the Macho Man.
Oh, Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal, yes.
Jay Lethal. He used to do the, he basically pretended to be Macho Man.
Yeah. Black Motif or something like that. I did a gimmick like him. Came out, had the same type of outfit on. I did a one hit quitter, one night stand with them. They called me in, And I was trying to like get on with them.
Oh, really?
But and I kept trying to get Marty to come over. You know, I said, hey man, let's go to TNA, and we'll just be different. You know, we won't be able to be Boogeyman and Little Boogey. I said, but let's, you know, we do something else. You know, he you know, felt that I'm gonna stick it out with WWE because now he's on a legend contract now, but he just felt like, you know, I'm not gonna leave, you know, the hand that fed me or whatever. So he was, you know, I guess if you want to say loyal to them,
that's good.
And you know, he just never won switch over, because I thought that if he would have wanted to go, they probably would have picked us up as a pair,
right?
You know, but like solo, I wasn't gonna get over there. So and I knew that, right. So. You know, and it was one of those things, because I said, you know, like I wouldn't mind having, you know, a last dance, you know, one last dance or whatever, for a year or so, and but it didn't pan out. But I wasn't like heartbroken about it. It wasn't like I was like, oh man, I got to do this. No, I just felt like, can I run this energy, that I had from Little Boogeyman over to, you know, TNA, you know, for one more year or two of television time to keep you out there. So as a motivational speaker, when you go to schools, everybody knows who you are. They're like, oh, wow, you're on this, this, that. And because the kids like that.
Right.
You know, and the kids like that. And even the younger kids know about me, even though a lot of them weren't even born. It's because of social media.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they when I go to elementary schools, you know, you got to look at it. These kids are, you know, 10 years old, and it's like, well, it's, you know, you wrestled 11, 12 years ago, you know. So, but with the internet and the WWE network.
Yeah, that's huge.
So with that being said, that allows me to, you know, about, hey, you're a Little Boogeyman. You know, it keeps you out there and keeps you somewhat relevant. You know, to wrestling fans, they know of you per se, and which was a good thing.
Yeah, we really couldn't even do our show without WWE Network. That that platform gives us the opportunity to go and rewatch all these shows. So, yes. And it definitely helped us with our interview with you, because I actually remember you as Little Boogeyman, but it was kind of like I had to remember it type of thing. So I was able to get on WWE Network, Google when the stuff happened, and we were able to watch all the clips. And that, I mean, that's a heck of a way for us to be able to interact instead of just trying to remember something that happened 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So it helps. I cheated. I just searched Little Boogeyman, and they just sent me all the clips, all the matches you were in. I watched all your clips. I watched a couple of your matches. We watched the Fit Finley and Hornswoggle match.
No Way Out. You were the pay-per-view, man.
No Way Out.
Pay-per-view. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that was nice. And then WrestleMania too, because we did that small skit with Donald Trump.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I watched that, where you came out, you and Boogeyman came out behind Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not give a crap. He was not scared at all.
No. And it's funny, he just the way he was on set, he's the way he is right now. So it's like, and I'll tell you a story, and again, a lot of people don't know about it because they weren't there. We were shooting at, and we only did one take. And in production, when you do something off screen, they normally do two or three takes just to have, you know, backup.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you guys know, you're doing the podcast, you know, you edit stuff. So you, as much stuff you can have, that's how you can, you know, put stuff together. So we did one take, and within that one take, they said, well, let's do another one. And he says, no. He says, you know, you guys do whatever you do. I'm going back to my green room. And, you know, and it was like the production manager was looking around like, oh, what the hell? Like, you know, that's not how we do this. But they didn't want to push his buttons. And he called the production guy got Vince on the walkie-talkie, and Vince came down to our set.
No, did not succeed.
That wasn't a good. He says, "We're at WrestleMania. Damn it! What the hell is going on? What did I hire you for? You're the production manager." And he says, "Well, Donald said he was done. So he was done." And Vince was like, and then he didn't bother him. It was like we didn't retake anything. You know, because Trump said, just whatever y'all's, just, you know how y'all do work that stuff, just get my best side. And because, you know, the production manager says, hey, let's do another one. He says, well, here's Donald. He's talking about like, well, I think it went fine. But, dude, you're not the production manager on this set. you know, what they saw and what they were, you know, they might have been looking for something like, hey, let's get another angle. But now he said, we're done. and then you didn't see him no more until, you know, the shaving the head part come out, you know,
until
they came out. But it was crazy. Wow. And then I was like, wow, man, I got to see the Vince, you know what I'm saying? I got to see the super hot Vince. So I was like, man, I was telling myself, I said, man, Donald better not get me fired, man, because I ain't messed with that. I said, you better not get me fired, dude. Like, I was like, you've been a real clown right now. So you're really clowning right now, because I said, you know, I don't want this to end, you know, because I've always wanted to be, when I know I was going into wrestling, I always wanted to be a part of WrestleMania. You know,
that's the dream.
Yeah, and to be able to partake in it, because all the wrestlers go to WrestleMania. That's on the roster,
but not all of them make it on the
set of like actually doing something. Wow. You know, I knew we weren't probably going to wrestle when Hornswoggle was part of Money in the Bank. I was like, oh, wow, if he's part of that. And when they were announcing his kid, because Mr. Ken Kennedy, he did a slam, you know, he slammed him from the, you know, back, put him on his back, and then went off the ladder. You know, I mean, it was a big pop for Hornswoggle. Me personally, I wouldn't want to have done it.
No, I can imagine.
I like my feet to touch the ground as much as possible, and that ain't that often if I'm sitting in a chair. You know what I'm saying? so let alone to be on a 20-foot ladder, you know, and then go all. It might have been a 30-foot, man. It was high. Yeah, it was high. Like. Nah, I said, I give you props, dog. I give you props. You did your thing. You did your thing. You know, I'm looking at any little mistake, you know, nobody's going to worry about like, oh, he's really messed up now. You know, I was like, nah, I said, I wasn't in the business to get jacked up to where I'm not walking or I wasn't looking, you know, so I was always careful about, you know, like certain things because the great Khali, one time, Pat Patterson asked me, would you be okay with him choke slamming you? I said, nah, this dude, he didn't kill a couple wrestlers before. You know, I was like, no, I won't be okay with that. You know, if you're not Hornswoggle size, you're not choke slamming me. Because that's not a fault. You can't get me that high. You know, but I got up there like, boom, and mess around and throw you down. No.
I don't blame you. I have acrophobia. Not a fan of heights either.
Yeah, so I wasn't. I said, man, that would be a big pop. But man, look on the other side of it. I'm out.
I'm good. Well, at least you got your WrestleMania moment by annoying Donald Trump. So there's that.
Exactly.
And I'm hoping that someday you get to be in the Hall of Fame.
You know, that would be kind of cool.
That'd be awesome.
I,
We will be bragging about it.
haven't fact checked this yet, but I don't think there is a little person in the Hall of Fame, is there?
No. No,
I would guess Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle would likely go first.
He had that 10-year ride,
right? You know, he had that 10-year ride.
So he went in. He was only 19, 20. So when he gets about my age, because I'm 53. It's my age. He might be in it by that time. You know, he just might be.
He might. It'd be a big success for little wrestling, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge. That would be a huge deal.
It would. So. And I think as far as the little guys go, I think that run is pretty much over with. I think because if you look at it. Since then, there's never been just imagine if they did a reunion, like Fit Finlay, Hornswoggle, myself, you know, one time, you know, just something just to rock the crowd, like unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, those days are, you know, pretty much over with. I can't say I know for a fact, but I just think that it's come to an end.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. But, and really, I mean, Boogeyman's been, I think he's done wrestling. Finlay, I don't think he wrestles anymore.
I think more of appearances, you know, autograph signings and stuff like that.
Well,
you know.
Hornswoggle kind of transcended Fit Finlay. Hornswoggle still was showing up around way after Fit Finlay got released from the WWE.
Yes, he was. Yeah,
I mean, he did that whole thing with DX in 2009. So he became his own character. He got to be his own character.
Yeah, he got to be his own character because he held the title for a second, the cruiserweight title.
Right.
Yeah. He got to do that for and then the unlegitimate son of Vince McMahon. You know, he had little angles and
he was Raw.
And I knew.
He was general manager of Raw at one time.
So, and I knew once our character, you know, we can't talk, and really we didn't have no talking perspective. So it's like you're such in a small box, and it's like you're limited. And once you're limited, you know, realize that your storyline is going to come to an end.
Now, is there a rule there? Why don't they let you guys talk?
Because they did a little bit with Hornswoggle. Yeah, Hornswoggle, and then he stopped talking and started doing the grunting or whatever. Like, because we watched the No Way Out pay per view, and he's talking to Fit Finlay about how he's scared of you.
So right.
He used to talk.
Yeah. So with the humanized characters, they can go mute or they can talk. You know, us. Other than that part that when me and Hornswoggle was going to do our match, and Boogie Man says, "Are you ready?" And he puts worm. You know, he was getting me pumped up, and all I was doing was like, and he was putting worms in my mouth. You know, feeding me worms, and you know the Donald Trump part when he says, "Trick or treat, smell my feet. Give me something good to eat. I'm the Boogeyman, and I'm coming to get you." And that was the end of the dialogue. You know, it was never like.
Yeah, Boogeyman didn't talk much.
You know, like, it was nothing like, "Hey, Boogeyman, little Boogeyman, how do you feel about tonight's match?"
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that. And when you don't have that, your character is like on a shoestring.
It's limited.
Because it's very limited. And once you become limited, you think about like any future commercials or anything like that. You know, you would only be if somebody did a horror movie and they said, "We want you guys to be in it." You see what I'm saying? It was like, other than that, you know, you're very stagnant.
Right. Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, I'm grateful because it was something I wanted to do as a teenager. So, yeah. So that's pretty much, you know, how things went for me. And, you know, and after wrestling, you know, I, did a couple of different things on television, a couple appearances here and there. And, of course, I've been traveling the country for 20 years, speaking at schools on respect and bullying. And I wrote a book, Big Message, Short Story, you know, so that was pretty much, that. And now I'm working with, special need athletes, and I got a couple other projects that I'm working on. So, you know, I'm just, you know, just living life after, you know, wrestling, which I lived life after and before wrestling, you know, because I didn't never want to be that guy, you know, like, you know, it's like people go in the military, they do 20 years and they leave that military, they're done. They, you know, they did their 20 years and they service something else. You know, they get into another world of their life. And I find a lot of wrestlers don't know how to become another, you know, it's like they're stuck in that, this is all I do. This is all I know, you know?
Yeah,
right. And when a lot of them superstars, see, they didn't diversify themselves as like The Rock did, you know, that, you know, and that's, you know, and his ex-wife, which was his management company, and she still works. She still does some things with him. And she was brilliant to help guide him into who the guy he is today. You know, not all the wrestlers are charismatic. Like, you know, that he's a different breed. He's a totally different breed because he doesn't have to try as hard as some of the other ones that got into acting. They have to try real hard because, you know, their acting game is, you know, it's not next level. It's more of their name than their skill set.
Right. Right.
You know, so, but you just find a niche, I guess. I mean, you got a springboard, you know, you got a name out there. Everybody knows who you are, you know, you kind of like springboard off of that, you know, and, you know, don't put yourself in a situation where, you know, surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. Like, yo, you know, is there, you know, what good does it do? You got all this money, but you can't walk.
Right.
You know, who wants that? That's no fun.
That's true. I mean, look at Lex Luger now. Remember, I mean, dear Lord.
And
like, you remember, like the same guy.
Right. And, you know, the thing about it, that's the guy I met, you know, here in Florida when he was first starting out. You know, the total package. And then, like, when you look, you know, like, oh, man, God bless you, man. You know, if you go back in hindsight, would you want to relive that totally, or would you want to have gone about this a different way? I'm pretty sure probably a different way because, you know, that's, you know, treacherous. It's critical.
So why don't you let the listeners, and I guess we're on YouTube this episode.
Yeah,
so
I plan on putting this on YouTube as well.
Where all can they find you so they can connect with you, get a copy of your book?
They can connect with me, basically Google Chris Hollyfield, CHRISHOLLYFIELD. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. I don't tweet much at all, but I'm on all these outlets, social media outlets, you know, under my real name, Chris Hollyfield, you know, and, yeah, you can, even my email is chrishollyfield1@yahoo.com. So it's pretty much people look up Chris Hollyfield and they can find me, inbox me via Instagram or Facebook. And, you know, got a question, you want to say hi, say hi. You know, I'm a, you know, an easy person to kind of, you know, I'm not one of those guys, oh, no, you know, I'll say hi, but I'm not going to say we're going to talk every single day, but I'm not a prima donna to where I can't have a conversation with you because, you know, I was still born Chris Holyfield before the little boogeyman. So you have to, you know, remember and stay humble on, you know, your success and what you've done, but you still gotta, you know, like there's people that may look up to you or be a fan, and you try not to disappoint anybody. I mean, I can't make everybody happy, but I'm a pretty easygoing guy for the most part, you know, because it's just who I am. You know, it's in my DNA. I wrestled, yes. I entertained, yes. Am I a wrestler? No, because it's a difference. For me, it's a difference because wrestlers never let that go.
Well, it sounds like you've been doing more amazing things out of the ring than you did in the ring, and you had an amazing career in the ring, it sounds like. So it sounds like you're living your best life.
You know, outside of COVID, yes.
Well, that's, I mean, we all got to do
that. I think none of us are living our best life right now. Although, I mean, I started podcasting after COVID, so maybe I'm living my best life right now.
because everything is internet right now anyway. You know, everything is internet. And so with that being said, this is like, you know, this is where we're at now, you know? So I'm just here trying to make a difference. You know, I'm different to make a difference.
All right. Well, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to try to get some books into some people's hands. Okay. So here's what you got to do. If you're listening to the podcast or if you're watching the YouTube channel, all you need to do is go to the Rage and Blaze Show on Facebook. And, or if you find the, we're going to advertise this episode. If you find this post on one of the wrestling sites or the podcast sites, all you have to do is like it, share it, and subscribe to the Rage and Blaze Show on, and that's all you have to do. We will find out who those people are. And I'd say we'll give it a week after we promote this. We're going to give it a week and we're going to give away some books. How's that sound?
It's good stuff. Good stuff.
So we're going to get these books in the listeners' hands. Would you be willing to autograph these books for these people?
No problem.
That'd be awesome. So you're going to get an autographed copy of the book, and the name of the book is?
Big Message Short Story.
Big Message Short Story. And anybody can find this book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, right?
Not Barnes & Noble, but Amazon.
Just Amazon. I apologize. I thought
no, because I self-published.
Sent me a link. Okay.
I self-published. Oh, you know, I'm an art, man.
So you are a publisher, a wrestler, an actor. I mean, a trainer. This man does it all. He doesn't know boundaries. He does something. He likes it. He does it, and he's living his best life. And,
exactly.
And you're telling. You're sending a message out there about anti-bullying. Would you like to tell the viewers about that?
Well, I've been speaking for 20 years on bullying. Ever since Columbine, after I saw what happened in Columbine in 1999, I was like, wow, man. Chris, you like to talk. You have a couple stories. You need to spread your message around. And it's not like I got punked all my life or anything. You know, we've all gone through something. And
I kind of did, so I support this.
I've taken that and just ran with it. And then as I became more popular through television and things of that nature, I just kept running with it. Because now, not only did I have a message in the beginning, now I have a platform. You know, I have a platform to bounce off of. It's like, now, you know, first it was just Chris Holyfield speaking with the God Respect Tour anti-bullying program, but it's now it's like former WWE wrestler, star, the little boogeyman, known as Chris Holyfield, you know, so it gives you that oomph. So when people are asking you about your tour and want to come down and negotiating your costs and stuff, you're not just that regular guy now. Right. You know, you got that little extra now. So it's like, you got to pay a little extra, you know. So, and it's like your degree of life. You know, some people have 20 years experience in something, and that's their degree. It may not be on paper, but that's their degree they put the work in.
Right. So you've been talking about anti-bullying before you even got into WWE. You've been doing this a long time.
Long time, yes. Yes.
So yeah, I tried
to get in with the WWE afterwards with their Heroes Be a Star program. And, I couldn't get them to bite. But, hey, such as – and I think – I know that my story would be a better fit than – and nothing against none of the other guys. But it's hard to look at Randy Orton or Mark Henry, these guys that are 6-something, muscle-bound, to say, like, when I was a kid – that's a lot. That's a far way for people to look at when they're looking at what they see right now.
Right.
When they look at me, they can see like, wow, you didn't grow. Period. You know what I'm saying? You're like that. You're. This is who you are, and they can see that.
Right. Yeah.
Especially because they surpassed you in height. You see what I'm saying? You know, a fourth grader surpassed you. My son, he's 8 years old, and he's taller than me. Okay. So when you see, when you see that, the story sinks in.
Right.
You know, Seamus, one of these big old guys come to your school, say, hey, guys, let me tell you something about bullying. You know, it's like they're in awe, but then they can't see inside of, maybe because you're a redhead that, you know, you might have got picked on, but they can't really see that. Because all they see is this big old muscle-bound guy.
Right. Yeah.
Throwing other people around in the ring. So they can't see, like, oh, man, you didn't get picked on. I saw you body slam the Big Show. And, you know, they don't see that. It's not a go home and speak up, tell your parents about what's going on with you. It's go home and say, guess who came to my school, Seamus? Blah, blah, blah. What did he talk about? He's just big. He's muscular. You know, it's not like, oh, this is what happened. You know. Even if he has a story, do they really take that and run with it and go tell me? Kids go home and tell, because I've had parents hit me up through Messenger and stuff like, hey, thanks for coming to my child's school. You know, my child has gone through being bullied and you made him feel better about himself. And see, you get those because they can see, they can feel and grasp that situation.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's passionate to me. Cause again, I just like making a difference.
And it sounds like you are.
I just like making a difference. I have fun with it. You know, I have fun with it. And when I'm having fun, I'm at my best. I'm having my best time, just because to put smiles on people's faces and high fives and embracing, hugging, and fist pumps and stuff like that. You know, it's like, it's all people want, man. It's all we want. You know, that's all we want. I mean, we have a wish list, but all we want is just people, you know, love me and love you back. That's it. That's all.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been great having you. This has been an amazing interview. I think we could go on all day if we had the time.
I could tell you some more. we can go for weeks.
So I guess before we close this out, I'd like to know, is there anything else, any other message, maybe a question we haven't asked you that you'd like to get out there before we finish this off?
I guess at the end of the day, I just want people to hold on tight. I know it's some low times in all of our lives and depressing times with this COVID-19, not having any answers and people being laid off, you know, businesses shutting down because this is hard to come back from. But just stay blessed, stay righteous, and, love who you are and understand that, you know, someday, sometime, I don't know when, but we will get around this. It may not go back to normal, what we're used to being normal, but hopefully it'll get better than what it is right now. And God bless, man, and I love you guys. And, you know, reach out, Chris Holyfield. You Google that guy. I'm sure you'll find him. You know, it's just, and if you can't, just look in low places. I'm sure you'll see me.
There you go, man. All right. Well, this has been Chris Holyfield on the Rage and Blaze show. And like he said, man, God bless everybody. Be safe out there. And I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
This is I'm the little monkey man, and I'm coming to get you.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Take care, man. God bless.
God bless.
And here is your winners and still podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Thank you for listening.